Well, good morning, everyone. I don't have my timer, so I might be a little early this morning, but hopefully that doesn't mess things up too much. Welcome to church this morning. It's wonderful to have you here this morning. For those of you who are visiting with us online, welcome. It's wonderful to have you. If you are a first-time guest with us, or if you're a visitor, in the back of the pew, on the back of the pew, there's something called a connection card. You could fill that out if you want and take it back to the Welcome Center, and we've got a coffee mug for you. If you are not a new person, it's great to have you here with us. Let me go through some of the announcements for you. Just want to again remind you, we are not going to talk about all the announcements, so make sure that you, on your own time, during the sermon if you want, whatever, look through the rest of the announcements and find out what's going on. But I do want to announce that the church office will be closed tomorrow. So don't call in, don't come in, there won't be anybody here. Also, next Saturday is the men's breakfast. So the men's breakfast will be going on. You can sign up at the Welcome Center. You can also sign up online. And so we're kind of kicking off the fall season next Saturday. Also, next Sunday evening, Miro, one of our missionaries, will be here in the evening, and the details about how you can sign up will be listed in the bulletin for you. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of some kind of a lesson with a visual thing, visual lesson, whatever it is, however that works. Okay, on the Church Center app, because you can all see this, I know, right? Yeah, I know, I got it. Oh, five-faced idea again. Okay, on the Church Center app, it looks a little different now. I know you can't see it, but just pretend like you're seeing it. On here, there's some tabs. And so there's three new tabs. There'll be more in the future. The first one is giving. The second one is prayer request. So now this is how it works. When you open that up, you have an opportunity to go in and communicate with the church office your prayer request. And you can put on there how you want it to be prayed. And there's a couple of different options. I think there's three. One is it just goes to the elders. And that's the idea. You don't want everyone in the church to know about whatever is going on. You just want the elders to pray for you. That's fine. There's another one that says you want it to go out in the regular prayer email. And on Thursday, we send out an email with all the prayer requests from people in the church. So you can say, I want to be put on that one. There is another one. It's basically, this is an emergency, and we do get those from time to time. This is something we need people to pray about right away. And so if you click that email will go out shortly thereafter to everyone who is on the list, and they will pray for you. So that's the idea behind the prayer request. If you don't want to use the app, that's fine. You can still call the church office. You can text me. You can email me or email Gail, whichever you want to do. But we'll get that communication out. The other box that's on there is called Sermon Response. And so this is a brilliant idea that the senior pastor had of this church, and he's just trying to make it happen. And this is how it works. What it is, it's a sermon response. So at the end of the sermon, generally, the preacher will have an application for you, something that he's challenging you to do. And so what the sermon response is an opportunity for you to click, go in there, and respond saying, this is what I did, this is how I did. I didn't do anything that Pastor Forrest challenged me to do, or I did this, or whatever. It's a way for you to respond to what's going on. So I'm trying to call it the digital altar call, but Gail says that's a bad name. So we're not calling it that. It's a response. We want you to have an opportunity to respond to what's going on digitally. So that's what's going on. Some neat things are going on here at the church. A couple other things I need to tell you about. One is that the original plan was to begin the classic service practice next Sunday, but that's been changed. We've pushed it back another week. So next week, everything will stay the same as it is now. And then the following week, which will be on the 15th, there will be a practice classic service at 9:30, and that'll be that service will go until about 10:30, and then there will be the normal service that we have here at 11. So that's not happening until the 15th. So next week is just normal, like just to let you know. We changed that up a little bit, so I wanted to let you know. I think that's all the announcement that I have. Please look through your bulletins, find out what's going on what else is going on in the church. There's a lot of great things that are going on. But if you would now bow with me as we pray to begin the service. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to come into a place that's quiet and calm, a place where we can be around others who have a love for you, or at least at the pace in their life where they're beginning to explore what it might mean to have a relationship with you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we proceed this morning into worship and as we open up the scriptures and we begin to look at what does the Bible have to say for me this morning. Lord, I pray that now you would even begin to start tuning our hearts to you. Begin to start tuning our attentions and our thoughts to you and what you want to do in our midst here this morning. We love you and we pray all these things in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, church. Good to be with you this morning. Our quintet has become a trio this morning. But nevertheless, we're going to worship together. So let's stand as Jax leads us in this first song.
Accepted, you are condemned.
Forrest, you are up.
Man. Sorry, got caught up in the worship. Okay, here we go. This is the question for today. This is our meet and greet time. This is the question today. What kind of coffee do you like to drink at coffee shops? And there's all these kind of venti, caramel, whatever. What kind of coffee do you like to drink? And don't forget to tell people your name.
All right, let's transition back into worship with some scripture reading.
If you'll take your place. And I'll be reading to you from Psalm 133. In this psalm, there's reference to the oil, and it's referring to the anointing oil. Often you'll read about the oil of gladness. In scriptural times, they often were out in the, I'll say, the desert type areas. And of course, their skin would dry out, and so they would put oil on their face. And so sometimes you'll read, "Let your face shine upon me." That's talking about looking someone directly rather than someone looking at the side. When you look at someone directly, if they have oil on their face, you can see the glistening, the glow, the shining. But this is a reference to anointing oil that was used in ceremonies. When God told Samuel to fill your horn with oil and go to Bethlehem, go to the house of Jesse, and there anoint for me a king over Israel. He was going to, why did he have to fill his horn with oil? Well, it was anointing oil. It was an olive oil, especially developed olive oil that was used for anointing. As a matter of fact, the word, the Greek word in the New Testament for anointing is Christos. Christ is the Greek word for anointed, which is the Old Testament word for, at any rate, give attention to the Word of God in Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head coming down upon the beard, even Aaron, the high priest's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robe. It is like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. May God bless us in his word this morning. Amen.
Thank you, Dan. Let's continue to worship together.
Of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high, God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy. Declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth.
Lord of heaven and earth.
Lord of heaven and earth.
Lord of heaven and
earth. The light. When I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name by night. is beyond our guessing. You are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. Lord of heaven and earth.
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 Lord of heaven and
earth.
Lord of heaven and
earth.
Hallelujah. Beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. Lord of heaven and earth.
Lord of heaven and earth.
Lord of heaven. At the feet of Jesus, the greatness of mercy and love. At the feet of Jesus, we fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lamb. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy. Holy, we cry, holy, holy, holy is the
Worthy.
this room and just, we would just feel your spirit. Lord, I pray that you would be with Pastor Forrest as he speaks to us. Lord, that we would only hear the words that you have, that we would all just be open to your love and to your word, Lord, even if it doesn't feel comfortable. And I just pray that you would go with us this week, that we would hold on to those words that we've already heard from your scripture, and that we will continue to hear this morning, and we will hold on to those and just continue to be sanctified and just lean into you in every moment. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I want to begin this morning just with a little bit of a clarification, a sidebar, if you will, because we're going to talk about a topic that is not something that people like to talk about in modern times. It's almost like he's not even real, but he is real. I can tell you from experience, he is real. And this morning we're going to talk about an entity called Satan. Now, there's different ways that this can happen. Sometimes people who are in my position can overdo it, and it's easy for people to walk out of the sanctuary like thinking, oh no, Satan's about to attack me, you know, and they're just petrified. And I'm going to try real hard not to do that this morning because I don't think that's accurate. But there's this other extreme, which is very current, which is very modern right now, is you don't ever talk about Satan at all. You just don't talk about him as if he's not real. And so by the same token, the same danger happens. People walk out of the sanctuary and they're acting like he's not even a thing. So this morning we're going to talk about him, and we're going to talk about how he works in the lives of people. And I want to be careful, and I'm going to be careful as I go. And if you feel yourself walking out of the sanctuary like petrified about Satan being around every corner, come talk to me. Let me clear that up a little bit. And by the same token, if you leave the sanctuary this morning with the token that he's not even barely doing anything, we need to talk about that as well. I'm going to try to give you a real balanced perspective on what he does. But again, if you hear me or if I am on either one of those extremes, come talk to me. And let me help kind of set your mind at ease and put you back where he is. He is real, and I should have known better. About any time I preach about Satan or something like that, it's like once he sees Satan in my sermon prep stuff, he knows it, and he's like after me. And like on Thursday, it was like, man, this is so weird. Like, it's definitely the sermons about Satan, but he hasn't done anything. That was dumb. Dumb Forrest. Dumb, dumb, dumb. And so within a matter of a day, all of a sudden, there was a lot of pressure about this thing that we're talking about. So I will tell you from experience this week, he's real. Just so you know, he's real. He's a real entity. He didn't beat me up. He didn't scare me. He didn't jump out from behind something and scare me. But he's real, and he does try to influence our lives, okay? So if you get any of that mixed up today, come talk to me. I'd love to help clarify that. There is a, and some of you may not have ever experienced this, but it's very frustrating if it does. And they're called, I'm calling it an unknown chirp. And what happens is if you're in your office or at your home or you might even be in a you know, some other place, and there's a device somewhere in the vicinity that's warning you that something is wrong. And this is how it does it. It goes, chirp. And if you've ever been experienced with one of those, it's super annoying, okay? Because there's a couple of things that happens. One is that the chirp is only one time, and then there's like 3 or 4 minutes till it does it again. And so no matter where you are in the room, you can't quite pin down where the chirp is coming from. But at the same time, the people who designed this device wanted you to know that something was wrong, and so they do this really annoying, loud chirp. And if you've ever had an experience of not knowing where the chirp was coming, if you've never had it, trust me, it's a pain. It's really frustrating. It's a frustrating situation. And the reality is that then when there's some kind of a danger, if there's something that's causing us difficulty and we don't know what the source is, that can be really frustrating. In our own lives and the lives of the people that we know and the lives of the people that we love, sometimes, oftentimes, they're experiencing difficulty and they don't know what the source is. Sometimes they start out by blaming God. This is God's fault. God is doing this. God is allowing, this is all God's fault. But for most people, they come to the end of it and they realize God may have had something to do with this, but for the most part, that's really not God's DNA. He loves us. He's not bringing difficulty in our lives just because he likes it. That's not his nature. So people are kind of like, okay, God's probably not the culprit here. And oftentimes what other people will do is they'll blame other people. They'll say, well, it's my family's fault or my friend's fault or my boss's fault or there's somebody to blame. And so the difficulties that we're experiencing, a lot of times we try to blame somebody else and say, okay, this is somebody else's fault. This is somebody else's fault. The reality is you walk down that road a little bit and for the most part, people are just careless. People are not conniving. There are some exceptions, but for the most part, people are not conniving, looking for ways to make your life miserable. People usually are just being careless. And so the blame doesn't really land on them, and they're kind of like, well, it's not God. It's not their fault. It's certainly not my fault. No, I'm just kidding. No, we usually don't say it's our fault, and a lot of times it isn't. But we don't know who to blame. Who's the source? Who is the cause of our difficulties? And this morning what we're going to do is we're going to look at a couple of verses from the book of 1 Thessalonians. If you have your Bible, I'd invite you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to come upon the Apostle Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, and they're writing a letter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which means that the Holy Spirit is in them and is inspiring them to write the words of this letter. And they're writing a letter to a church that they know and love, and the believers there are in Thessalonica. And so they're writing this letter to them, and in the letter, Paul and Timothy and Silvanus talk about a situation that they're in. And so we're going to be in chapter 2, so 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 17 through 20. And one of the things that we're going to see as we look through these three verses is you're going to see that Paul and Silvanus and Timothy have a legitimate desire, a longing to see the Thessalonians, but they can't get to them. And that's a difficulty for them. And what you'll see as we work through this is that the blame for that is really sourced in Satan. And he explains it, and we'll see it in just a little bit. Now, there are other players that are involved. There are the leaders of the town of Thessalonica who are also somewhat involved, but that's not the source. According to Paul, according to Silvanus, and according to Timothy, the source is really in Satan. And so what I want us to do is we're going to look at how do they explain their difficulty and how do they explain what Satan is doing. And then what I want us to do is that we're going to look at that and say, is that true to life today? Is that how he works in my life? But we're not going to stop there. Then I'm going to challenge you to take that information and encourage someone in your life who's going through difficulty. But first, we have to start and say, okay, is this what do we understand that Paul and Silvanus and Timothy are saying about how Satan works in their life? Look at that, say, okay, is this true? Is this true today? Does this really happen today? And then if it does happen today, how can we be an encouragement to somebody in our life? And I'm going to use the name James or Mary today. So when I use the name James or Mary, what I'm referring to is the people, the person in your life who's going through a difficulty. It might be a James or it might be a Mary. Okay, whoever it is, you'll see that as we go through. But I'm going to ask you to think about someone and say, okay, how is Satan, if we think this is really happening, how is Satan using, working in their life in the same way that he did in Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy's life? And what we're going to see, the first section we're going to see is that, first of all, that Satan, Pastor Forrest, you should know this, Satan orphans, and then he's going to say Satan hinders, and then he's going to say that Satan depresses. Satan orphans, Satan hinders, and Satan depresses. First thing, Satan orphans. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. Now this is, the language here is very emotional. And even as I was studying it, I was like, wow, this is intense. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are using intense emotional language. And it's on purpose because they're trying to communicate the depth of their emotion for these young believers in this church. Verse 17 starts off this. It says this, "For we," speaking of Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, "brothers and sisters," addressing the church. Now again, this is a young church. Remember, they haven't been together for that very long. This church has been meeting, but it's a very young church. It says, "But we, brothers and sisters, having been orphaned from you." Now there are other places in some of these letters where Paul or some of the apostles use terms like being separated. But here he uses the word orphaned. And it's a powerful term because it implies not only separation, but implies the fact that this is not what he wanted. When you're orphaned from someone, it's not something that you chose. You didn't choose to step away and go on vacation. You didn't choose. Somebody else chose this orphaning aspect for you. And the emotion is high. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are saying, we were orphaned from you. We weren't just separated. We weren't just away. We were orphaned from you. And he keeps going on. And he says this, "We have been orphaned from you by absence for a short while." For a short while. Now, if you slow down and you think about what is being said here, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy are saying, we long for you guys. We want to be with you guys. And we've only been gone a short time, but we still want to be with you. The emotion here is very high. They've been orphaned, but they've only been gone for a short time. And already, they really, truly long to be with them. This separation was not easy for them. This was not a fun excursion. Being separated from these believers was not enjoyable in any way. And even though it had only been a short time, they were still feeling this intense desire and longing to be with them. end of verse 17 says this: we were for a short while in person, but not in spirit, reminding them that even though they're not with them personally and physically, they're still thinking about them, and they're still they're focused on what is going on in their life. We were all the more eager. We were very eager with great desire. The adjectives here and the description here is it's a huge deal. We had a big, huge desire to be with you, to see your face. We had this longing. It's only been a short while, but we had this longing to be with you, to see your face. And again, another description of a very emotive thing. If somebody says, "Hey, I missed you. I haven't seen your face." That's a higher, it's a ramped up. And what this verse is doing is that Paul and Silvanus and Timothy are communicating that they have this enormous desire to be with them, to be with these believers, but they've been orphaned. And the next verse will tell us that the person who orphaned them is Satan. But this, I want you to understand, they're trying to communicate to them and to us as well, that this is the thing that Satan likes to do. Satan likes to orphan people from other people. This is how he likes to function. This is what he likes to do. And the reason that he likes to do that, the reason that he wants to orphan people from other people, is because it's terribly distracting. It's terribly distracting. If a person, whether they're a believer or not a believer, is able to get into a place where they're by themselves, there's no one there to encourage them, there's no one there to talk to, there's no one there to care for them. If they're by themselves, they start to go crazy. And that's exactly what Satan is looking for in the lives of people. If you think about these little unknown chirps, again, if you've never had that experience, you're just going to have to go through my experience. But when that happens, everything else stops. You may have been talking to somebody with this. A couple of weeks ago, we had one of these chirps in the office, and I had to stop what I was doing because the chirp was going off. And whenever the chirp went off and it stopped, okay, that's fine, it stopped, but I'm waiting for the next one to happen so I can try to locate where it's at. I'm waiting, so I can't talk to people. I can't do any work. I can't do anything. I've got to stay focused. I've got to sit there and I've got to listen. Just listen. And that's what those warning chirps do to you, is they isolate you from people. They make you focused on just that. And that's the nature of what Satan tries to do in the lives of the apostles, but it's also what he tries to do in our lives. He tries to cut us off from the people around us. Tries to get us to not connect with people, to not talk to people. He tries to isolate, to orphan us from the people who might be a help with our difficulty. And this morning, what I want to challenge you to do is I want you to think in your life of someone that you know, a friend, a family member, a neighbor, someone you know who is going through difficulty right now. Who is a person in your life right now who you know is experiencing difficulty? Get that name in your head. I'm using James and Mary just as a generic term, but I want you to think of a James and a Mary, someone in your life who you know right now is experiencing difficulty. And if what Paul and Silvanus and Timothy are saying is true about the way that Satan functions, here's what I want you to know about that person right now. Whatever their difficulty is, Satan is attempting to use that difficulty to orphan them from the people that can help them. And what happens, it doesn't matter what kind of a difficulty it is, if it's a medical difficulty, if it's a financial difficulty, if it's a relational difficulty, whatever it is, what tends to happen when difficulty wells up in our life, the thing that we tend to do is we step away. Financial is the one that's big or huge in this. When we're having finance problems, the last thing we want to do is anyone to know. So what do? They shut down. Everything's great. Woohoo, no problem. I have $0 and 0 cents in my checking account, but everything's great. You don't want anybody to know. Same thing is true with medical. Those difficulties are things that Satan is using in the life of your James and your Mary to isolate them from other people. We look at the next verse, verse 18, and we see that not only is Satan trying to orphan them, but he's trying to hinder them. He's trying to hinder them, and verse 18 says this, "For we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, more than once." So he's telling them that we, as a group, the three of us, have desired to come and visit you, to see you. And then he does something which is kind of strange here, but he's saying this is the real thing. He says, I, Paul, wanted to come to you more than once. And what he's saying here is that this is not a general desire like, oh, we hope to see you tomorrow. He's saying we made plans, we made specific things that we wanted to come see you. For example, I, Paul, I wanted to come see you more than once. He's giving them details, explaining to them this is a legitimate thing. We really wanted to come see you. But there's a problem. And Satan hindered us. It says, for we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, more than once, and Satan hindered us. The original word, the original verb there, that hinder, it's actually a military term. And it's a term that means that a military has done something to impede the progress of the enemy. There was just a video, I don't know if you saw it on the news this past week. There was a fighter from Ukraine who bombed a road in Russia where the military was trying to cross. And it was kind of a success for them or whatever. That's the same word here, is that Satan is blowing up roads in the way to make it difficult for us. And that's what Paul and Silvanus and Timothy were saying. It's like, we tried to come to you, but the road was blocked. It doesn't say how it was blocked. It wasn't physically blocked. The road wasn't blocked. But something that Satan was doing in their lives was making it difficult for them to get to something that they wanted to get to. Satan was hindering them. And the same thing is true in our lives, in the lives of people living even today. There are things that we want to do. There are things that we know we need to do. There are things that we hope to do. And what Satan is doing is in our lives, he is trying in our lives to make that difficult, to block the road to do the thing that we want to do or we hope to do. And as you think about it, as you look at James and Mary, I want you to ask yourself, what is the thing that Satan is trying to do in their life to hinder them? What is it that they're looking for? What is it they're hoping to try to do? What is the place where they're trying to go or the thing that they're trying to accomplish that's being hindered? Because if there is a difficulty in a person's life, even though there might be humans who are contributing to it, it's sourced in Satan hindering something in their life. And what is that hindrance? What is the thing that Satan is trying to do in their life to make life difficult? What is it? The last thing that we look at is we look at the verses 19 and 20. It says that Satan, and I'm going to say here that Satan depresses. And I'm not saying that Satan actively makes a person depressed, but Satan works in their life to hold them off from the things that cause them joy and cause them hope. Look with me at verse 19. Verse 19 says, for who is our hope? This is Paul and Silvanus and Timothy saying, who is our hope? That expectation that things are going to be good in the future. Who is our joy? That feeling of gladness and happiness. Who is our joy? Or the crown of pride. It's not the bad pride here. This is the good pride. And they're asking, who is our hope? Who is our joy? Who is our pride? In the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? Or is it not indeed you? So what Paul and Timothy and Silvanus are saying is that you guys are our joy. You guys are our hope. You guys are what we're proud of, and we can't get to you because someone is blocking the way. And that is the nature of what Satan tries to do in people's lives. He doesn't cause them to be depressed, but he will often hinder them from finding the things that are legitimate sources of joy and hope in their life. And the tricky thing about this whole concept is, if from the Lord's perspective, he were to look down and say, of the three people on the planet at the time when this was going, on the three people on the planet at this time, who should I give them joy and hope? Who should I give that to? Most likely the person who would be most deserving is Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. They're missionaries. They're doing great stuff. But the Lord didn't make it happen. Satan was allowed to hinder. Satan was allowed to orphan. And Satan was allowed to depress. And that's a little bit difficult for us to comprehend, because sometimes it's hard for us to give that much credit to Satan. But I want you to see in this situation, if the Lord was going to step in and make a way for anybody, it should have been for Paul, it should have been for Silvanus, it should have been for Timothy, because they had legitimate desires to want to be with these believers. But for whatever reason, the Lord didn't step in, and Satan was allowed to cause the difficulty in their life. And for your friend, your family member, James or Mary, they are being hindered in such a way that Satan is trying to keep them from a sense of joy, he's trying to keep them from such a sense of happiness or of peace. He's trying to work in their lives to mess them up. So what is the, who is responsible for our difficulties? Ultimately, the source is in Satan. He, first of all, tries whenever he has opportunity to orphan people from other people. He also tries to hinder their progress. And if given the opportunity, he will try to depress them. My application for you this week is I'm going to ask you to do something, but I want to tell you a story. This past week, the elders and I were in the office area. We were in the middle of our meeting, and one of those annoying chirps went off right in the middle of the meeting. Now, each of the other elders, other than me, kind of looked up and like, oh, looking around, like, what's going on? Is there danger? What's going to go? You know, what's going on? There's obviously something wrong. We have no idea what it was. I got up from the table calmly, walked over to the burglar alarm, and shut it off. Because I knew that specific chirp was somebody on the other side of the building setting the alarm. Didn't know we were there. They, as soon as they heard the chirp, were concerned. But as soon as I knew what the problem was and I could take care of it, everything was fine. And that's what I'm going to challenge you to do this week. I'm going to challenge you to be a person in the life of your Mary and James, whoever that is, to be an encouragement to that person, but coming in with the understanding that the difficulties that that person is facing are ultimately sourced in Satan. There may be other people who are contributing. Satan may be using other people, maybe using disease or whatever, maybe using that to discourage them. But you can come in as a person who knows what is going on, and you can be an encouragement to them. So what I'm going to challenge you to do, I'm going to challenge you this week to take your James or your Mary to coffee. Pastor Forrest, I don't like coffee. I don't care. Take your James or your Mary to coffee. Why? Take them to coffee, sit them down, listen to them, and encourage them. And if appropriate, tell them that the source of your difficulty is not in your own mistakes, although those have contributed. The source of your difficulty is not your boss or your family members or anything like that. And the source of your difficulty is ultimately not God. The source of your difficulty is the bad guy who wants to destroy everyone. And his name is Satan. I can't fix it for you, but I can listen and I can encourage you. So that's my challenge for you this week. This week, invite your person, your James or your Mary, whoever it is, invite them out to coffee, listen to them, and encourage them. And then by the end of the week, go into the sermon app and push on sermon response and tell me how it went. That's your challenge. That's your homework for the week. This part of the service, then, what we do now is we move into a time where we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And this is a time for us who have entered into an intimate relationship with the Lord because of our belief in what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. We are in a situation where, regardless of what we've done, regardless of the difficulties that we are experiencing, we can approach the Father with complete freedom because of what Jesus did for us. And what Jesus did for us was he allowed himself to be killed, and he allowed himself to be killed, his blood to be shed, and his body to be broken. And that is what the Lord's table is an opportunity for us to remember. If you didn't pick up one of these disposable communion cups on your way in, there's some gentlemen in the back. Just raise your hand and they'll get those for you. Just want to remind you, if you are not a member of this church, you are more than welcome to participate in this remembrance, with the understanding and with the sense that if you are in an intimate relationship with God because of your belief in Christ, then this will make perfect sense. This is a wonderful opportunity for you to remember. If you are in a place in your life where you don't have a right relationship with God, things are kind of messed up between you and God right now, don't partake of this. It won't make any sense to you. But allow us maybe for a few moments just to remember the wonderful thing that Christ did for us because he loves us. I'll be quoting from the book of 1 Corinthians. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. After supper, he took some bread and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. He's referring to the fact that in a few short hours, his blood would be spilt on the ground. He would physically die. And that death would achieve the opportunity for all of humanity, if they choose, to have an intimate relationship with God. So he said, "Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." This week's been a little bit different. It's been a little bit of a different week for us. Alex and John were both on vacation. So these three guys did a wonderful job. Thank you. Appreciate you guys stepping in and helping us out. Things have been, it's been a good week. Next week, everything is going to stay the same. So the service will be at 11, and we'll have some more updates about what's going to happen in the week after. Continue to think, if you would, and continue to pray about what the Lord is doing here among us. There's some wonderful, wonderful things that are going on among us. One of the things that may come up for you is that you may want to have someone pray with you or someone to talk to after the service. And I just want to encourage you to come up front after the service and meet with me. There'll be some other people here who can talk to you if you need to. And I know I had this conversation with some. It's a little bit weird. It's a little bit difficult to come up front afterwards because you think everybody's looking at you. Want a secret? They are. But it's okay. It's okay. I mean, I can't stop it that they are. Okay, but it's okay. I won't bite, I promise. And I would love the opportunity to pray for you or to talk to you. Now, all glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.